AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app.
AM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, we continue on. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, Rodney Nick Hamilton is here.
Nick Hamilton is there. Hey, before we start, hey, Nick, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, Rodney? How you doing, man?
I'm good. Hey, Fred.
Yes.
First of all, I can't go any further without saying congratulations, man. You know?
Oh, that, thank you.
Didn't you get an award, Fred?
Yeah.
That you're trying not to say anything about?
Yeah, well, you know, I have special feelings on this. Nick is sitting here laughing, but no, I was very fortunate and honored to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yes.
From the Radio Television News Association, the Golden Mics. And the Golden Mics in our business, Rodney, are like the Golden Globes. And the Emmys are like the Oscars. So I got like the Lifetime Achievement Golden Globe. It was a fun night. Hung out with all my pals from Channel 4. But, you know, when you start to receive these, and I've been blessed to receive a few, it tells you a couple of things. First, you're old, because you can't receive lifetime achievement until you're old. So that, you know, makes you want to cry because you think, my God, lifetime achievement, my life is not over. Are you telling me something? Are you sending me a message? So there was that. And I think basically they just ran out of people to give it to, so it was finally my turn.
Oh, you're being humble, Fred. I know you've won it before, but this is the Lifetime Achievement Award, and you've worked with some people in the business. Other people in business would have three lifetimes as long as you've worked, Fred. So, yeah, stand up, stick your chest out, and be proud of it, Fred.
Appreciate that, Rodney. Thank you, and thanks to the RTNA. It was really a very nice night.
Nah, you know what? I was proud for you, man, to see you take that prestigious award like that. I said, look at my Uncle Fred out there.
There you go.
Sticking his chest out.
Uncle Fred.
Sitting there. Now, where is the award?
It's at home.
Okay. Do you like.
Do you display it? Do you put it as a doorstop?
Because I will put it in every picture. Like, I will put it in every picture I take now. From now on, I'm putting it in every picture.
It's been displayed with the other Golden Mics I have won.
Okay.
So it's right there.
All right, cool.
It's right in the front there.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I do want to tell you, here's how I started my speech. I said, I understand that branding and marketing is everything in television today. And what you have to do is you have to hold on to your audience, because our audience is shrinking, right? So you have to talk directly to the people that watch you. So when you do promos, they have to understand it. And I'm part of the longest running anchor team in LA with Chuck, Colleen, and Fritz. So Tim Howick, who's in charge of our branding department and marketing, called me and he goes, listen, we have to talk to our audience, the people that have been there forever, and you're part of the longest-running anchor team in L.A. So I want to give you this new campaign we're working on for the 11 o'clock news to promote it. I said, well, what is it? He said, Chuck, Colleen, Fritz, and Fred, welcome to Jurassic Park.
Oh, my God.
Because we're old.
Wow.
Did he say it
with a straight face?
That's deep.
No, I said it with a straight face. The crowd erupted. They thought it was hilarious. Not so much for Chuck, Colleen, and Fritz, but I thought it was very funny to say that. The old folks won, and we'll take it. But thank you for the kind words. Okay, Nick, so you did see the NBA All-Star game, and I saw that you had to respond on Twitter. You can't tell me you enjoyed the national anthem.
It was cool, but it was Chaka Khan. That's what she does. Like, if you watch concerts, like, that's what she does. She takes it to the 10th power and beyond. She's like Buzz Lightyear, infinity and beyond. Like, that's where she takes her songs to, and that's what makes her so great. She's royalty, Fred. You can't be out here talking bad about royalty.
Get at him, Nick. Get at him like I did. We're not going to sit here, Fred, and let you talk about Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan is a legend.
Chaka Khan. I know she is.
And you talked about earlier in the first hour about people putting their own spin on things. But if you recall, Marvin Gaye put his spin on the national anthem, which made it one of the greatest national anthems of all time, next to Whitney Houston. When Whitney Houston sang the national anthem, she didn't sing it, she sang it.
Yeah.
So there's two examples of people putting their own spin on the national anthem that everybody, black, white, Latino, Asian, whoever you are, male, female, they all love it because it was great. Now, I'm not saying the same thing for Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan did her own, you know, she did her own rendition of the national anthem, and it was cool.
Thing. She veered off a little bit.
Yeah, Brad. I mean, she got off on the wrong exit, but she got back on the freeway. You
but
know,
you give
but
her
the
a little
sound
bit
wasn't
of a
great.
Pass because it's Chaka Khan.
Yeah, and the sound wasn't the greatest it could be either. So that could have a small part to do with it as well. But overall, hey, man, you got through it. The national anthem is one of the hardest songs to sing. I've talked to other singers about that, and it's one of the hardest songs to sing because it's so much that you have to do in regards to it. And nobody wants to mess it up unless you're Roseanne Barr. Outside of that.
100%. You know, I can attest to that because my wife, she sings it every year for Dodger Stadium. She sung it, you know, several times. She did it when I was playing in Carolina and in Philadelphia. So she definitely says the same thing, that it is difficult to sing. You got different venues, different stadiums, the echo, the reverb, and the delays, all those things that go into account. You have to really, really be focused. And it seems like an easy song, but a lot of people mess up the words, even if they know it, when they actually sing it. So it is a very difficult song to sing.
So you're not telling me you'd rather have seen Common do it?
That's another thing, Fred.
What is your obsession with Common singing a national anthem?
Hey, Rodney, I got to ask Fred this question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Are we going to kick it this week, right?
We're going to kick it.
Okay. I got to hip you to some stuff, to some real hip hop. Because apparently I thought I must have failed miserably. Because for you not to know who Common is, one of the dopest MCs
you heard
in
that,
the game.
Man. I was hoping you didn't hear that, Nick, but you did.
We got some work to do, Fred.
But I was impressed. I liked him.
Common is dope. He's been dope.
He is dope. Common is dope.
He's been like that since 92, 93.
Dope.
He's just now, I mean, he's basically in his shine because he's branched off into other genres like acting and voiceovers and things like that.
That's what confused me.
Common is the man.
Yeah.
He definitely represented Chi-Town.
Yes, he did.
Very well, along with Jennifer Hudson, who did a masterful job. Oh. Doing that tribute to Kobe Bryant. I thought that was incredible. I mean,
you talk about sang with an A in it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't nobody cutting onions. It was eye-watering. You tear, you know, even people in my house teared up, you know, as we were watching the tribute and hearing her sing that song. I mean, it was incredible. The NBA did a masterful job just the entire weekend in Chicago. I mean, even though the judges need to go, except for Candace Parker. She's the only one that can stay next year. But after that, everybody else need to go because Aaron Gordon was robbed. That man should have won the dunk contest.
Yeah. They both should have won, man. Both of them had some incredible dunks. I mean, I think that both of them could have won. But, no, you're right. I think it was one of the best All-Star. I can't even remember back when I enjoyed the All-Star game as much as I did yesterday. Everything that went into it. And then, again, going back to Common and the way he broke down all the people from Chicago and how he had them involved in it. And, you know, you saw D. Wade crying when he was talking about his young kid with a ball. I mean, it was incredible. And then, you know, introducing both sides, Team LeBron and Team Giannis, the way he did it was incredible. So hats off, to Common, the NBA, everywhere. They put on a show this whole weekend.
And the game was great. And when's the last time you could say something like that about the All-Star game? It was great, Nick.
No, it was great. The last time I saw a great All-Star game was 2003 with Michael Jordan. That was the last really, really top-notch All-Star game that I have witnessed to say, wow, this was mind-blowing. And the fact, like you said, Rodney, the fact that they had everybody, they really made it a Chicago-themed All-Star game. Even though the All-Star game was for everybody, but they knew the whole city. They made sure the whole city represented. When you had Common talk about Fred Hampton all the way to D-Wade, to D-Rose, and even seeing that promo with Michael Jordan coming out, to me, I was like, okay, the NBA, they're
Obama.
President Obama coming out. Yeah. I mean, that was huge. I mean, like I said, hats off to Adam Silver. The game was great. I think I was a skeptic of the format initially because I didn't understand it. It looked like hieroglyphics to me. But at the end of the day, I mean, hats off to Chris Paul because this was his idea that he initiated to the NBA in the first place. And then the way they were able to honor Kobe Bryant in that as well, it was a fantastic job by the NBA.
You think a game like that should have ended on a free throw?
Yes, because of the bootleg refs. Yeah. And next year, when they go to Indianapolis, they need to make sure that the refs need to let these guys, if it's down to the last 10 points, right? If you have a margin, you say, okay, 157 whoever gets to 157 wins. If they get to 147, let these guys play. I mean, they were calling some of the most ticky-tack fouls I'd ever seen. I'm like, if you sneeze on a guy, whoop, here comes the whistle. I mean, these refs need to understand this still is an all-star game, okay? This is not the regular season. This is not the playoffs. This is not game seven of the Western Conference or Eastern Conference Finals. This is still an all-star game. People want to see players play, and you're trying to extend it for what? It's commercial free, for God's sakes. You're not getting any more advertisements.
Granted, the offensive foul on James Harden was a little
it
tough.
Was a little much.
That was a little much.
It was.
Yeah, a little much.
In the words of Razzcast, it was doing faux much with two left shoes and didn't even know it.
It was a little much.
It was a lot.
Yeah. But still, it was great. It was exciting. I've not seen the numbers, but I think next year you will see a dramatic increase in ratings for the NBA All-Star game, because it was something you just had to see.
You look forward to it. And again, I go back to the great concept of the charity angle, local charities in Chicago benefiting from the, and you saw the excitement of the kids wearing the shirts and you know, their team LeBron, team Giannis, and being involved in it. I thought it was fantastic. Do you think this, because I heard some people, well, the NFL needs to take notice of what the NBA did. NFL can't do that. They can't make it competitive because it's too physical.
Yeah, guys will get hurt.
Yeah, guys will get hurt, but I understand the overall premise. They could do more as far as being more community-minded and getting more people involved, people of color involved, as far as the festivities are concerned. Because when you look at the halftime show with Chance the Rapper, who's actually from Chicago, you added DJ Khaled, you had Lil Wayne come up there. So it made you really feel like you were in Chicago. And my only thing to the NBA, my notice to the NBA was, okay, the next time that Los Angeles gets an All-Star game, we want the same type of local talent across the board. Don't go fishing out of state. You have great local talent here in Los Angeles that you can gravitate towards, that you can get, whether it's singing the national anthem or whether it's getting somebody to perform at halftime. There are plenty of people in Los Angeles that can do it.
You know, overall, you know what I call that game? Dope.
Weekdays at noon. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peek. After the Herd.
And on the iHeart Radio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
Bringing you LA's best sports talk weekdays noon to 3.
Rogan and Rodney.
Jay Hood.
Killed it.
Killed it yesterday. He didn't kill it. She killed it, Fred. She killed it. Roddy Pete, Fred Rogan, Nick Hamilton in with us this hour. Jennifer Hudson, Fred. This is Jennifer Hudson, Fred.
Yes, it is Jennifer Hudson.
Feel it, Fred. Feel it.
I'm feeling it. You know I am. You know how I roll. All right, Fred Rogan, Rodney Peete, Nick Hamilton here on AM 570, LA Sports. Next hour, we'll check in with David Basse, who is with the Dodgers at Camelback Ranch.
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
And listen, catch Mookie Betts and the Dodgers in spring training at Camelback Ranch in Arizona. For schedule and tickets, visit Dodgers.com/spring. And what a treat, because now entering the studio, he was off for a week, but he's back and he's better than ever, our dear friend Vic Jacobs. Vic, welcome back.
BTB,
feeling you, everybody. Great to be back. I want to thank all my doctors and nurses, especially Dr. Lai, my urologist, who took out some crazy rolling stones out of my bladder, and now I'm stoneless.
Stoneless.
My stones are gone, and I feel much better. Thank you so much.
So you've been neutered?
Basically, bladdered.
Bladdered, okay.
I've been bladdered. I've been stoned. Right. Like a rolling stone.
De-stoned. You got makeup out of there.
Like a rolling Chaka Khan.
All right, well, Vic, no, it's great to have you back, and thank you for telling everybody that you went to a urologist, because I was just welcoming you back. I don't know if we needed the detail on what happened, but...
Vic is an open book.
Well, people,
you know,
are curious.
No, yeah, people are
people
curious.
Want to know. People know about Vic the Brick. Everybody wants to know about Victor Brick. He's an open book. He's transparent.
Exactly.
Unlike those Astros.
Exactly. Nothing overt in my actions. If I go in for a stone removal, I'll tell you I had a stone removal. The bottom line is...
What do they use, a shovel to take out the stones?
No, it's a very delicate procedure.
Yeah?
They obliterate the stones.
Right.
They send a camera up you know where, and then they obliterate to find out what's going on in there. God. And my man, Dr. Lai, did a great job at PIH in Whittier, Sensational Hospital. And I want to thank Dr. Wang, of course, my
we better to go we to love Dr. Wang.
Well, yeah, we love Dr. Wang.
Dr. Wang is my go-to.
He's your go-to.
She is my.
It's a she.
She, Dr. She. Lisa Wang.
Lisa Wang.
Is my go-to.
Shout out to Lisa Wang.
Oh man, she's basically.
Go ahead, Wang.
Basically saved my life.
God bless her.
Thank you, Dr. Wang.
Absolutely.
God bless her.
God bless her.
All right, let's do some good call, bad call.
And God bless everyone here in Los Angeles and everywhere. I just want to say, in Chicago yesterday, the vibes of Kobe Bryant were so strong. I was in tears most of the game because it was so brilliantly done. You know, it wasn't overdone. It wasn't, you know, it was a celebration of Kobe.
Yes.
And it was never, you know, a mournful thing. No one was mourning. Everyone was celebrating Kobe. And the way they bowled for Kobe. You know, Kawhi, who gave us great light and great insight about his relationship with Kobe Bryant. I didn't realize how close Kawhi and Kobe were.
Yes.
Until he received the Kobe Bryant MVP award. And then Kawhi just said, yeah, he's my mentor. We had amazing workouts. He gave me counsel. No one knew that stuff. I don't think it was ever brought up. Am I right, Nick? Because you're in the mix.
We knew that it was some type of relationship. We didn't know the depth of it between him, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, guys going and on. So, yeah, it was fantastic. Props out to Kawhi Leonard, man. MVP, Kobe Bryant MVP award winner.
Yeah, he was dope. All right.
There's a moratorium on how many times you can use that.
Hello.
You know what I say to that, Rodney?
You know what I'm saying, Nick?
No,
hello.
Rodney, you know what I want to say to that?
Oh, Pete, now.
I
that was played out too. Josh is listening. Josh,
I know he's in town.
Dad, oh,
he's in town.
Oh man,
tell your dad to stop, Josh.
Okay, here's the deal. If you didn't see the news story, this happened on a Delta flight. So there's a woman in a chair, and she's sitting back in economy, coach.
Yeah,
and she goes to lean back, which is your right to lean back. It's your chair.
You paid for the seat.
Right. Anyway, the guy behind her doesn't find this very appealing, as a matter of fact. The guy behind her thinks she is now infringing on his space. So the entire time, he's taking his fist, and on the back of the chair, he's going. Just pounding her. Just pounding her. Not like smashing it, just pounding and pounding the back of the chair. So the head honcho at Delta, he says this. Listen, it's rude if you lean back if the person behind you doesn't want you to lean back. That's rude behavior. And you should be considerate of the person sitting behind you. So if you paid for the seat and you're sitting there and you want to lean back and recline a little bit, but the person behind you says, no, don't do that. I guess etiquette indicates you're not supposed to do that. You should just sit there straight up. So to say passengers should ask for permission to recline in their seats on a flight. Rodney, is that a good call or a bad call?
It's a bad call. First of all, that Delta spokesperson, whoever that was, that said that. That is the problem because it used to be comfortable to fly. Now they try to pack everybody in as close as possible so you can't even lean back. If you don't want people to lean back, don't put the recliner in the chairs. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. You could be on a six-hour flight going from coast to coast. You want to lean back from time to time. You don't want to sit upright. Stop making it a money grab. Takes a couple rows out so people can lean back in their seats. It's a bad call. You shouldn't have it being able to recline. And if you're behind them, sometimes you just got to take it. You got to take it. That's what it's there for.
Yeah, it's an absolutely bad, horrific call. First of all, the CEO of Delta Airlines takes a private jet. So when you're on a private jet, I'm sure Fred and Rodney, you guys can attest to this.
I know somebody that went on one.
See, Humble Fred once again.
Yeah, Humble Fred.
There's plenty of room. But when you're on a commercial flight, there's only so many rows. There's only so much room you can handle. And yes, can you lean your seat back? Absolutely. Now, if the person behind you says, hey, can you mind like moving it up just a tad so I can kind of stretch my knees out so my knees don't hit your seat? That's a different story. Maybe even saying, hey, oh, if you feel something as you're leaning back, oh, excuse me, you know,
let me adjust.
Yeah, that's fine. You can work things out. I mean, we've all done it on commercial flights. You work things out with the passenger behind you or in front of you or what have you. But that guy, how he punched that woman like that, Rodney, you could probably attest to this. This is the difference between when black people are on the plane and when other people are on the plane. Because I have a quick story. I'll tell you about this. I was on a flight from LA to Atlanta. And you know, that's about a four and a half hour flight. It's a big, nice guy, one of the gentle giants. Guy was 6'6", maybe close to 300 pounds. We sit in the exit row. Now, you lean your chair back. Obviously, he's a big guy. You want to lean your chair back just a little bit more than usual. This person need him in the seat or whatever. He turned around. He said, "Excuse me, sir. Would you mind not doing that? I will thank you." The guy, I guess, got indignant. A few minutes later, he kept doing it 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. The gentleman to my left told me, "Excuse me, man. Let me get to." I'm thinking he's going to the bathroom. He said, "You mind if I get through here?" I said, "Sure." I got up out of his way. Next thing I know, the man grabbed the other man behind him and said, "If you do this again, we all have to get out at the same exit. You will not make your connection." And let the man go. He walked onto the bathroom. That man was a choir boy the whole entire time. So it depends on who it is that you're kicking the chair to. So again, I guarantee you that'd been a different story if it was somebody else. Regardless, the man was wrong. He should have never hit that woman's seat like that. And he was fouled, and Delta Airlines should do a better job of taking care of their passengers in situations like that.
Salient point, Nick. It's a horrific call. Thank you, Santa Fe Springs.
They're booing you, Vic.
Yeah, they've been waiting for you, Vic.
Yeah, Santa Fe
Springs.
It's
been a week.
You're like, what are you doing in Santa Fe Springs? Why are they booing you, Vic?
I understand.
Barely got out of there alive, huh?
My band played one of its greatest...
Machuganas.
With Attitude.
Yeah.
We played one of two great gigs there in Santa Fe Springs. So we still have good vibes. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
This is basically the breakdown of American etiquette and behavior. The woman's wrong, and the guy's wrong. The guy is really wrong because he should show more respect for the woman. The woman is wrong for not leaning back and saying, "Listen, I'm going, Nick, as you said, I'm going to lean my chair back. Is that okay with you?"
And what if he says no?
And in fact, to sweeten the pot, let me give you a free drink. Let me give you a drink. Let me buy you a drink. So, if you will allow me, you negotiate. Don't let it get to the flight attendant who really blew it by coming down on the woman who had a back problem, by the way. She had a medical issue with her lower back, so she had to recline in that seat because you know how it is on the cattle call and commercial. Mm. You know, everyone's treated like freaking animals.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is in commercial. You're an animal. And you're treated like an animal unless you pay first class.
Money grab.
Or business, exactly.
Money grab.
They got no.
I had somebody actually do that to me in first class.
Really?
Tell
in
me
first
to
class?
To lean my seat up, I was rubbing it. That's how tight it's gotten with the airlines and how cheap they are in trying to get a money grab and get extra rows in there that they don't need to have in there.
And that's why the American Airlines, I'm not saying American Airlines, but airlines in America are in the abyss. When you compare it to Cathay Pacific, Philippine Airlines. You compare it to ANA and Nippon Airlines of
traveling
Japan.
In Europe or Asia. Yeah, you got room. You got room.
And, you know, if this happened on one of those carriers, number one, they'd give the guy a couple cognacs. They'd give him a little Hennessy, a little Courvoisier, and say, you know, relax. Relax. Yeah. Here's a Courvoisier. Let the woman go back. And he'd say, okay, let me drink my Courvoisier, and she can lean back.
I hear you. Now drink your Courvoisier to this, Vic.
Mm.
All right. So veteran NFL reporter Larry Fitzgerald Sr., the father of Arizona Cardinals receiver, provided this interesting nugget on Friday.
Mm.
He said, "I'm told Las Vegas is prepared. Las Vegas Raiders are prepared to offer Tom Brady $60 million over 2 years. Whew. Good call or bad call for the Raiders to pay Brady $60 million over the next 2 years to be their QB?
Well, it's a great call for the Raiders. I don't know if it's a great call for Tom Brady.
$60 million for 2 years ain't a great call, friend?
Well, he has to weigh the difference between $60 million for 2 years and his survival and opportunity to win. That's what it comes down to. I think it's great for them, sure. Offer him $70 million for 2 years. That's only good news for them. But for him, you better be in a position where you're going to be okay and you've got a chance to win. I mean, if you really want to look at the Raiders, are they going to win the Super Bowl? Because that's where he needs to go. A team with a chance to win the Super Bowl. Money aside, you don't want to go for your final 2 years and look like Y.A. Tittle in that classic New York Giant picture where he's on the ground
bleeding,
and his helmet's next to him and there's blood coming
classic
down his forehead.
Picture, Fred. Classic.
Classic.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy. So, yeah, good for the Raiders. I don't think it's good for Brady.
Yeah, I think it's a bad call. I think it's a bad call mostly for Brady because when you look at what the Raiders have right now. There's so many missing pieces and moving pieces that they have to assemble. They're not even destined to win their division. I mean, you got teams that are better in their division, let alone trying to win a Super Bowl or even get to the Super Bowl. So if I'm Tom Brady, thanks, but no thanks. I'm out. Either I'm going to spend my time back in New England or I'm coming to Los Angeles and get with the Bolts.
Fabulous call for the Plata y Negro. Thank you, Santa Fe Springs. Thank you so much.
Yeah, they're cheering you, Vic. Is that why you said yes?
Well, we all need love. And what the world needs now is love, sweet love.
Not just a song.
And that's the only thing. There's just too little of.
Yeah.
Is that Marianne Faithful? Anyway.
What?
$60 million.
Welcome back, Vic.
For Tom Brady is a bargain because obviously the Raiders, even though they've sold out the new stadium in Vegas, they still need some marquee names, to get the buzz, to get the vibe going. Let's get vibing in Vegas, with your Raiders. But for Tom, like you said, Fred, he needs a Lombardi trophy again, needs number 7. Why is at 42, why is he in the league? He's made enough money. He's made crazy money. His Brazilian model wife has made insane money. It's not about the money. I don't think it's about $60 million for Tom. It's about opportunity to get back to the Super Bowl and get his seventh ring. That's what it's about.
He ain't got 7 years to get there, old Vic, as Nick said. They're not Super Bowl ready.
They're not. The Raiders are maybe what? Well, you never know. And the crazy shield, the NFL, you're a year away. You're a year away.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? Yeah. Rod, you've been there, what, 16 years?
You go to worst to first. Look at, Frisco.
Look at those
4-12 to Super Bowl.
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't take long. Yeah. But for Brady, though, the breakaway from that incredible routine that has, been incredibly successful with Belichick and Kraft and the offense, it'll be hard to leave that ritual of I'm going to compete for a title. Even though I have no playmakers around me, I'm still within a couple yards of going back to the Super Bowl. So for Tom, I don't think $60 million is the bottom line here. It's about opportunity.
Right. Okay, talking about the cheating scandal in baseball, Phil Hughes pitched in the majors for years. Mm. He said, all right, the players are upset that nothing was done about the Astros. The players weren't punished. He suggests this. It may sound extreme, but he's curious to know if the players have considered a work stoppage until real punishments are handed down. He says, I know probably can and won't happen, but what are the 99.9% of the players who care about the game's integrity supposed to do? Just carry on like everything is fine? For MLB players to boycott, to walk out, unless the Astros got a harsher punishment. Rodney, is that a good call or a bad call?
I get the feeling. I get the sentiment. No, it's a bad call. Sometimes you got to live with it. And the way we live, whether it's life and court and decisions that are made, you got to live with it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it. You can be upset about it. And the players are letting their voices be heard. But at this point, it's been very clear and there's no wavering that Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball have made their decision. And you're not changing that. It's similar to, the people in L.A., the L.A. Council, whoever wanted to strip the title from the Astros and give it to the Dodgers and was going to put it on the ballot. Whatever they were going to do was ridiculous because it was never going to happen. Same thing with this. You're not going to change it by a work stoppage. It's not going to happen. Bad call.
Yeah, it's a bad call. I mean, I understand the sentiment of it. I understand it sounds great in theory. But when back in reality, first of all, these baseball players are going to speak in outrage, but eventually, like everything else, time heals all wounds, and so does a nice fat check. And they're going to continue to collect their paychecks and continue to play baseball and move on past this at some point. Obviously, there's been a decision that's going to be handed down at some point about the Red Sox. I mean, what can you do to change it? Like Rodney said, what's done is done, unfortunately. And like I said before on this show, there's money attached to those World Series championships. There's advertisements, there's TV money. They're not going to be willing to give that stuff back. And so they're going to move forward, get past this scandal, and move on. The same thing they handled the steroid scandal, the same way they handled the breaking of the color barrier, the same thing everything baseball has gone through with the gambling of Pete Rose and everything like that. They're going to try to do their best to get past it and move forward. And that's all we're going to see in 2020, period.
Bad call. Hughes You're giving them too much credit. Number one, Commissioner Manfred is deluded and should be stripped of his position for the way he's butchered this probe. This is no probe. Yeah, probe this, Manfred.
You had a probe. You know what a probe is.
And it's painful.
Yes.
Yeah. This situation is not getting more mellow by the day. It's getting more inflammatory. The wound is open and it's oozing. And you heard the Justin Turner comments earlier about the commissioner. If the commissioner of baseball thinks that the hallowed, precious trophy symbolizing baseball excellence is just a piece of metal, then you got to leave your position, Manfred, and go to like single A and learn the roots of hardball, man. You have no grip on reality. The reality is they must be punished and severely. Take their money away, take their rings away, strip them of the trophy, and let's begin to at least get some minimum of justice, a modicum. Can I say modicum on the air?
You just did.
Say them all, Vic.
A modicum of justice. There is no modicum.
What are you talking about Monica for?
A modicum. There is no modicum of justice.
Yeah, get off Monica's back.
Yeah.
We all love Monica, but I need some justice.
AM 570.
And Rodney. AM 570 LA Sports.
Oh, yeah. This is what we look forward to.
Uh-oh.
Presentation of the sad sack. This is a well-deserved honor.
Better not do it, though. You better not do it.
Gotta do it. Russell Westbrook. Yeah. Nick claps. Representing Team LeBron in last night's All-Star game. 2 for 10 from the field, 6 points. Again, the sad sack of the day, Russell Westbrook of Team LeBron.
That's a reach.
Milk carton all-star.
That's a reach. That's a real reach.
What do you mean?
Number one, Westbrook. When they did the pregame intros, who was the happiest ball player? I saw Russell Westbrook beaming. I've never seen him beam, but he was beaming. And I dug that about him. Russell was so happy to play in this game. I think it was his 9th taste of the all-star deal.
Yeah.
And he was still like, you know, a kid off a UCLA campus. He was so happy. Yeah, he didn't play well, but his joy, you know, got me into the game. I'm saying, wow, Westbrook is psyched. I'm psyched. Anyway, this is me.
Well, no,
it was really special for people that were selected to this particular All-Star game.
Right.
That it meant a lot more than all the other ones that they've been in.
You would think, Rodney, just because of the tone.
Yeah.
And the acknowledgement.
If I was going to give, you know, the sad sack,
yeah,
I'd give it to Dwayne Wade for blowing the slam dunk competition.
Ooh, you didn't put it all on Dwayne Wade.
D. Wade, absolutely, yes.
I would put it on Harden and Westbrook. Because Harden didn't even, I mean, he barely showed up. And Westbrook, he was a milk carton all-star. So, I mean, he definitely deserved it.
But Big said the dunk contest for Dwayne Wade, give him the 9.
Yeah, that was horrible.
It was horrific. Yeah.
Like I said earlier, fire all the judges except for Candace Parker.
Yeah, Candace knows.
What about Black Panther? Nobody talking about Black Panther?
Chadwick Boseman.
Didn't he give a 9, too?
My man looked like he was asleep.
He did.
Or off that other brown substance.
What character was he in this time? Because, you know, he plays everything. So I was trying to figure out what character he was playing as a judge. Because, yeah, he was a little subdued.
A little bit. All right. We told you earlier, and next hour, David Basset will join us, by the way. So we'll find out what's going on with the Dodgers at Camelback Ranch. But we told you earlier about the comments of the commissioner and why he did what he did and the choices he made, which absolutely no one is buying, by the way. And to carry it a step further, he's kind of now in the Jim Crane division. The owner of the Astros. The commissioner's become Jim Crane.
There's no precedent in baseball. Baseball has nothing but precedents. You know, Nick mentioned color barrier. There was the gambling scandal, steroids, change the game. There's precedent. There's precedent all over baseball. There's no precedent for this. Well, set one.
Here's what Justin Turner had to say. Listening to the commissioner's interview yesterday talking about there's never been a precedent, that's because it's never happened before. It's the first time in the game, to my knowledge, that this has happened, and he just set the precedent. He set a weak precedent. So now anyone who goes forward and cheats to win a World Series, they can live with themselves knowing that. Oh, that's all right. will cheat to win a World Series and bring the title back to L.A. and just screw Dave Roberts and screw Andrew Friedman. It's just those guys losing their job. I still get to be called a champ the rest of my life. The precedent was set by him in this case. And it was, as Cody said, a pretty weak precedent. I think that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, between him and Cody Bellinger, along with Mike Trout, who also said he lost a lot of respect for those guys, and he came out and really spoke out. And I think that's what you need. You need top-notch guys to come out and speak out against it. But at the same time, I think at some point it's going to be like, okay, look, now the season is going on. I mean, it's over with. I'm tired of hearing about this story because it's starting to get nauseating, to be quite honest with you. I mean, nothing's going to be done. The commissioner's not going to go back and say, hey, we're going to add more punishment to what we've already done. That's not going to happen, even though many think it should, and can't say I blame them. But what's done is done. Deal with it. Move on.
Yeah, but Nick, but the problem is that who needs to shut up about it is the Astros. They're trying to tell everybody else to shut up. They're the one that needs to stop talking, because every time they open their mouth, they're saying something that's ridiculous and stupid, and it gives us more to talk about. They need to just squash it and stop talking, because we don't believe anything that comes out of their mouth.
Right. I agree with you, but at the same time, if you don't respond at the whatever they're saying, if you don't respond, it doesn't keep going. Like, they're going to look even dumber by just making all these ridiculous statements and then nobody responds, because everybody's moved on from it, because everybody has not so much accepted it but dealt with it as far as what transpired, what happened. Now, I agree with you. The Astros, Carlos Correa, first of all, needs to have a tall glass to shut the hell up, because there's no excuse for him saying what he's saying. It's the dumbest thing I've heard. Don't try to rationalize something that you did wrong. What was done, you guys flaunted it. You guys were arrogant. That's why you got caught cheating. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're the only team that may have cheated in baseball, because there may be several other teams that may have cheated. So that's why MLB had to be careful as far as how they conducted their investigation. And also, Rob Manfred also said, hey, he didn't want blowback from the MLBPA, which is the strongest union in all of professional sports. He didn't want that issue. He didn't want that problem. He's trying to sweep everything under the rug and move forward. So for as far as letting it linger on, I think Rob Manfred did what he thought was in the best interest of Major League Baseball, as well as moving forward with the season.
All right, let me read you something else Justin Turner said. I don't know if the commissioner has won anything in his life. Maybe he hasn't. But the reason every guy in this room was working out all offseason and showing up to camp early and putting in all the time and effort is specifically for that trophy, which is, by the way, called the commissioner's trophy. For him to devalue it the way he did yesterday just tells me how out of touch he is with the players in this game. At this point, the only thing devaluing that trophy is that it says commissioner on it.
Shots.
Hey, in the All-Star game in L.A.?
It is?
Ooh. I know where you're going with this, Rodney.
I'm going to just let it hang out there.
if I'm Manfred, I show some huevos and face the union. What's the union? Are they going to protect the Astros? Are they going to protect the players? Let's find out. Don't just vacillate and, as we say, sweep it under the rug, because you won't face the reality. And don't forget, the Houston Astros, they are corrupt to the core. How quick we forget how Gurriel, the racist Astro, who was indignant and totally racist when he, did that, deal with his eyes with Yu Darvish.
Yeah.
This is the Astros'
MO. The inappropriate behavior of one of the executives in the locker room. Right.
Exactly. They're a corrupt organization. They should move the Houston franchise to Nacogdoches. That would be a penalty. Move them out of Nacogdoches.
Yikes.
Move them out of Houston. That's how you penalize them.
We're not going to Nacogdoches.
Financially, no. Let him play in a 20,000 stadium. But let him play in a minor league stadium. Nacogdoches or Waxahachie. Take him out of Houston.
But, Vic, you already know this is a business move. And Rob Manfred has the answer to not only just the owners, but also the investors and also the advertisers. And that's what he's looking at. This is why he's trying to move past it, I believe, and sweep it under the rug. Because, listen, that is money that has to go back and be accounted for. And I don't see Major League Baseball
Nick, Nick, I get that. But just think about Adam Silver. Think about, when he got rid of Donald Sterling, that was a bold. Because not every owner was on board with that.
That's
Mark Cuban was outspoken about, you can't take a team from an owner. And a lot of other owners were outspoken about that. Okay, that's crossing the line. You can't go that far. But he went that far, and he took the Clippers away from him and made that happen. it's not out of the realm to go against the owners. And I think Manfred, as players are not blind. They're seeing that this we got a weak guy that caved in this situation where he shouldn't have caved.
Well, you got also too. I mean, yes, he's looking weak right now. But then if he does something major or does something that benefits the players or benefits Major League Baseball, then nobody's going to say anything. It's the same thing with Roger Goodell. It's the same thing with Adam Silver with the whole China issue, as far as them losing hundreds of millions of dollars because they felt like Adam Silver should have said something against what Daryl Morey said and what he did. So I mean, it's going to be yin and yang. It doesnn't matter when you're the commissioner. People are going to love you. Yeah, but
that's saying it, and it's different because he's allowed the players to be able to say what they want when it comes to political statements. So he can't have it both ways on that side of it. So I understood that one, but I'm talking about a cheating scandal like this or something so egregious like the Donald Sterling situation. He stepped in and said, "I'm handling this right now, and we're gonna take action. I don't know if you're gonna agree. I don't care if you agree with it or not. I'm taking action on this," and it seems like you're saying, and I get what you're saying, that Manfred has to answer to the owners. He's got to answer. He's scared of the Players Association. All of that he's got to factor in. But I think the players are looking at it and saying, man, grow some.
Yeah, he just looks weak.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line here. He looks weak.
No, he does look weak. He doesn't look like the commissioner that should be a commissioner of a sport. But again, at the same time, you got to understand, listen, he's already made his punishment. He already made his decision. It's not going to change. Move on.
At Rodney P. Guy.
On Twitter.
At Fred NBCLA.
Rogan and Rodney.